I'm William Cooper, and you're listening once again to the Hour of the Time. Well, folks, Veritas, winter press today, and it's out. Tomorrow, we will be mailing off all of the copies of Veritas that go to subscribers. And, of course, about 900 copies that go to Washington, D.C., that will be hand-delivered by special messenger to every representative, every senator, every head of every agency, every member of the president's cabinet, the president and the vice president, at my expense. And it is extremely expensive. Also, with this issue, ladies and gentlemen, the rates for subscriptions to Veritas go back up. So effective today, the higher rates will apply. But I'm going to give you one last chance, folks, to get a subscription in at the old rate of $27 for 24 issues. If your letter is postmarked tomorrow, we will honor the $27. The new rate for 24 issues is $35. So, folks, you can save $8 if you get your check or money order in the mail tomorrow. Make them out to Veritas. That's spelled V as in Victor, E-R-I-T-A-S. As always, your subscription begins with the issue following when we receive your subscription. So since issue number 7 is out, even if we get your subscription tomorrow, it will not begin until issue number 8. Does everybody understand that? If you want to receive this issue, number 7, when you send your subscription, enclose an extra $3, that's the current issue, enclose an extra $3, and we'll send you this issue, number 7 also. So for $30, you can get a subscription for 24 issues to Veritas. And you can also get issue number 7, the one that just went to press today. But only, ladies and gentlemen, if your letter is postmarked tomorrow. I hope you all understand that. If it's postmarked after tomorrow, and we send it back to you because you have the old rate, don't cry about it, because I told you tonight. Okay? Also, for those of you who are whining about your copies of the Oklahoma City tape with Michelle Moore, I told you when I offered that tape, I told you I was very clear, very plain. I said that it had not even gone into editing yet. If you want to get your advance orders in, you will be the first to receive your copies when the editing is done, when the master is made, and when the copies start rolling out. I don't know why it is that so many people listen and then don't hear a word that's said. You know, and that happens in a lot of homes, too. Doesn't it? Well, folks, you may get away with it at home, but you don't get away with it at me. If you keep whining to me, I just send your money back. Because I told you, the tapes were not even edited yet. That if you got your money in, you would be the first to receive the tape, because we're only going to make 100 copies, period. And that still goes. The master is made, ladies and gentlemen. We're beginning to make the copies now. We're only going to make 100. We already have orders for a significant portion of that 100. Some of them are whining because they haven't got their copies yet. For the whiners, go fish. Whine to me one more time, I send your money back to you. Because, frankly, I just don't put up with it anymore. Especially when I told you to begin with. You know? After editing, we brought the 12 hours down to 9 hours. It's 9 full hours of audio tape on 5 tapes. 5 tapes. 9 full hours. It's a training film for station chiefs for the intelligence service. The lecture was presented at our conference in St. John's on May the 30th and 31st by Michelle Moore, who is our Oklahoma City Station Chief, who, by the way, will be our guest on Wednesday night to bring you all up to date on what we have discovered. And ladies and gentlemen, we were the first to bring all the pertinent facts to the public on this broadcast and in the pages of the Hour of the Time. We were the first ones who found the seismograph from the University of Oklahoma. We were the only ones who got the Omniplex seismograph. We were the ones who found General Parton and made his information known to the world for the first time on this broadcast, and we did not reveal his name until he could take steps to preserve his safety. And then we published all of his information in several issues of Veritas. We were the ones who disclosed the fact that several cans, 5-gallon cans, of fulminate of mercury were discovered on several different floors that had not detonated but had detonators in them. And I could go on and on and on and on and on and on. We were the ones who disclosed the fact that Gary Hunt was there on videotape moments after the blast occurred, carrying what looks like a transmitter in his hand with an antenna, which could have been a detonator. But anyway, we'll talk about all these things on Wednesday night. If you would like to order your copy of the 9-hour tape of the Oklahoma City bombing lecture presented by our Oklahoma City Station Chief as a training film for investigators at our conference, it is, ladies and gentlemen, $60 for members. And I believe it's $85 for non-members. The price has gone up. So if you didn't get your order in before, you got to pay more now. $60 for members, $85 for non-members. It's 9 hours. It is an incredible tape. If you're an investigator, if you're a member of the intelligence service, if you're a station chief, you need to have this film. It will help you immensely. And there's much more that's going to come out of this bombing that should help us all, and I hope that we're able to catch the perpetrators. And I'm going to tell you right now, it wasn't anybody from the Middle East, ladies and gentlemen. It's homegrown, right here. And you can look, if you're where I'm at, to the east for the answer. And just like the mysteries, the answer's in the east. Oh, yes, it's in a place where the streets are laid out in the square and compass, where the phallus of Osiris stands tall in the dawn, and the reflecting pool sends back the light from the reflection of her master, the pure light. And both the obelisk and the image in the pool point toward the egg from which the new world will be born and hatched. It's called the Oval Office. Oh, it's a lot of fun when you can read their language and understand it, ladies and gentlemen. If you can't, if you don't understand, you are at the mercy of the puppet master. And when they pull the strings, you will dance, because that's exactly what you're supposed to do.
Thank you. than be ever done. I'm too much to take in here, but the time can put in words to sound. The sun rolling high into that violent sky, keeps breaking small on the endless ground.
This war, ladies and gentlemen, is disguised under many names and many symbols. But basically, it's a war between those who want to engineer the future of the human race, or the evolution of humanity, as they call it, and those who believe in the natural process of God. One lives by fire, and one lives by water. Fire is the generative force. Fire renews all things in nature and is used to create technology, metal, propel engines. The waters of faith represent the feminine force, or the receptive force, those who are acted upon. It is important that you know these things. It is also racial in nature. Those who live by the philosophy of fire, in the what they call the brotherhood, the Illuminati, the illumined ones, the sons of Cain, are the Luciferian force, the ones who rebelled against God, the ones who were not satisfied with the number of stalks of grass in the field and wanted to make it more productive, who built cities and walled them and learned to hunt. And of course, those who live in the waters of faith obey what they believe to be God's word, and that is that they are to take care of the earth and the animals upon it and live in innocence in the Garden of Eden, that they are not to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. One is represented by the dark races, and one is represented by the Anglo-Aryan races. One is represented by the religious segment of society, and in particular, the Orthodox Jewish faith, the Christian faith, and the Islamic fundamentalists. The other is represented by those who do not believe in God at all. On the contrary, they believe that man himself is God, or will become God through the use of his intellect, the gift of Lucifer, or Satan in the Garden of Eden. They are engineering the future. They want to destroy their enemies. They want to create a new heaven and a new earth. The Molten Sea, which we've already discussed, is an attempt to bring the two warring factions together as one. The Molten Sea represents the literal taking of all of the different disparate elements of alchemy and putting them together, mixing them, if you will, and pouring it as a sea of colorless metal. The pure white philosopher's stone, if you will, where there is no further conflict, all things have come together equally. It is brought about by the philosophers of fire through the Hegelian dialectic, and that all things have an opposing force. When these two forces clash or come together, there is a synthesis or a blending into something new. And every time you have this clash that occurs amongst the disparate forces in the world, there are left fewer forces to clash, but nevertheless they are brought together in conflict until ultimately the goal is to have one remaining philosophy, one remaining government, one remaining religion, and one remaining race. Do you understand what I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen? And they don't really care how they do it. They look at the black and Hispanic races as the useless eaters of the world, steeped in the waters of faith. They're determined to eliminate them, one way or the other. One of the ways that has been proposed, and is a possibility, is the blending of all races into one through intermarriages, through the forced coupling to produce interracial children over long periods of time. Another is to create wars and revolutions during which the undesirable races will simply be eliminated. Hitler tried that, didn't he? So I continue where we left off. I know that some of you are so lost out there, being new listeners to the Hour of the Time, not understanding any of the symbology, that you did not really understand the three broadcasts that we made last week. That was the beginning. For you, for long-time listeners of this broadcast, it's just another brick in the building of the wall, so to speak. Now, let me sort of digress a little bit to make sure that you're where I am at. We're talking about blood, the human ego, and what happens if blood is mixed. Now remember, ladies and gentlemen, especially if you're a new listener to this broadcast, this is not what I believe. This is what those who are causing the chaos in the world today believe. I pay attention to it, and I study it because I know whatever they believe, if they are so powerful that they can cause these things to happen, it will affect me whether I believe it or not. No general walks up on a battlefield without at least knowing all that he can possibly know about the opposing commander and his philosophy and his tactics. threatened. We are engaged in a battle. Make no mistake about that. In ancient times, it was strictly forbidden anyone belonging to one tribe to marry into another tribe, because it was known then by the leaders of humanity that the strange blood would kill something. It always does. And this is where the old taboos about race comes in. It doesn't really kill anything. The truth is that children produced by interracial marriages are usually extremely intelligent. And most of them are beautiful. The strange blood would kill something. It did. It always does. We read that Adam and Methuselah lived so many centuries. At that time, it was the custom to marry in the family, marry as closely as possible so that the tie of blood might be as strong as it could be made. Then the blood that coursed through the veins of the people in that family contained the pictures of all that had happened to the different ancestors. These were stored in the mind, which is now the subconscious. Remember in the movie The Lion King, when the little lion looked into the pool and he saw his father staring back at him? That's what this is all about. You see, Walt Disney was a very, very committed Anglophile, and he was a 33rd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite of the Southern Jurisdiction. Then they were consciously and constantly before the inner vision of all people, and each family was united by this common bond, wherein the pictures of their ancestors lived. The sons saw the life of their fathers, and thus the fathers lived in the sons. And since the consciousness of Adam and Methuselah and the other patriarchs lived for centuries in their descendants, they were said to live personally. See, everybody's always asking, how could Methuselah live so long? He didn't. He didn't physically live, but he lived on in the genetic makeup of those who came after. It's talking about race, ladies and gentlemen. It was then as great a crime to marry outside the family as it is now to marry within. How about that? Even among the early Norsemen, we learn that if anyone wanted to marry with any strange family, he was first obliged to mix blood. It must first be tested to see whether his blood would mix with that of the family into which he desired to marry. And thus, Hymolysis was known to many, in some of its phases at least. If the blood did not mix, it would bring about confusion of caste, as the Hindu says. A straight line of descent must be kept, for otherwise those pictures in the inner vision would become mixed and would be confused. And in those days, this was absolutely necessary for the security and for the survival of the people, of the tribes, and of the nations that lived in those days. Today, there's no necessity for this whatsoever. Period. And for those who say that something would be lost, something would be lost. The animosity between the races would disappear. That's what would be lost, ladies and gentlemen. The gene pool would not be destroyed, but would live on. And just as in agriculture, and just as in the breeding of animals, you produce a better strain when you mix, ladies and gentlemen. Do you really believe that before the cattle industry came along that Black Angus cattle were roaming the plains? Not on your life. Do you really believe that in ancient times there were German shepherds and St. Bernard dogs and greyhounds? Not on your life. Do you really believe that some of these fantastic vegetables and fruits that you routinely put upon your table today existed as little as 50 years ago? Not on your life, not in your wildest dreams. And you can see in the histories of the royal families of Europe what happens when you breed pure over long periods of time. The worst emerges. The very worst. Now, I'm not condemning those who believe in their race or who want to maintain their race. What I'm telling you is that your philosophy of intermarriage being wrong is itself wrong. It is flawed. And I'm not telling you that this is what I am proposing for the future. I'm just telling you it is what it is. And for those of you who believe that your gene pool is being depleted through these intermarriages, you're full of crap. Or you're impotent, one or the other. Because if you're really concerned about your gene pool, you would find another person of your race of the opposite sex, and you would produce as many children as you possibly could. You see, I think 1,000 years from now, there's still going to be people running around who are pure white, pure black, pure Chinese, pure Japanese, pure American Indian. Because there's going to be people who don't want to intermarry. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But the concept of racial conflict came about because of the necessity in ancient times to protect the tribe, to protect the nation, to ensure that the wealth of the family was not passed down to someone who did not deserve it or who did not belong or who was not accepted by the culture, by the society of that time. I can tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, with no second thoughts whatsoever. Change is inevitable. Change will come. Change is in the process of happening now. I've said this over and over and over again. I will continue to say it. What emerges as a result of this change will not be anything that ever was before. Look throughout history, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing that ever was is. And tomorrow, nothing that is will ever be. If you don't understand that concept, you are going to get swept away in the change. You will be tremendously hurt by the change. You see, I don't do this broadcast, and I don't preach about our founding fathers and liberty and individual rights because I think that everything is going to be the same as it was when this country began, or even as it was 40 years ago. I teach you those things so that you will know where you came from and so that we can pick out what is important to preserve and to input into the coming change so that the future will not be enslavement. You cannot stop change. I cannot stop change. No one can stop change. But we can influence the outcome. We can say no to certain portions of the change and resist it with all our might. We can accept others. We can compromise on some things. But the change is still going to come. And as all of history, there will be people who will stand and refuse to accept any change whatsoever. And there will be those who accept some change, and those who can look ahead and see the direction that the change is going to take will be those who profit, who become leaders, who are the directors of the road that the change is going to follow, and who will not be destroyed or injured or damaged or crushed by this change. I don't know what's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, but I can guarantee you in 100 years, our Constitution will be a memory in the history books. Because something's going to change here. It is our job to make sure that the change is something that we can live with, that we can profit by, that we can make into a better future. You see, because the philosophers of fire are going to bring it about one way or another. And you may slow them down, and you may change the direction of their machinations, if you will, for a little while. And you may be able to affect the outcome, but you will not be able to stop the change. Now, I don't know how many of you can grasp what I'm telling you, but I hope it's an awful lot. You see, we have to ensure that the protections of the liberty of the individual, what we call creator-endowed rights, are not destroyed in this process. That we don't make the state more important than those the state was created to serve. I never could understand communists who created a state wherein the people's only purpose was to serve the state, which didn't even exist except in their minds. Incredible. We must not forget that humans are the most important part of creation. Not that the other segments of the created universe are not important, but we are the ones that can affect our environment in many ways that animals cannot, and plants cannot, and oceans and weather cannot. We can build, we can create, we can tear down, we can destroy, we can kill, we can uproot, we can decimate, we can eliminate, we can create. The lesson of the movie 2001, or at least one of the lessons, was that when you allow your technology to be more important than the creator of that technology, you have made a tremendous mistake. When the sole purpose of man is to serve what he has created, you have made a mistake. A great mistake. In ancient days, ladies and gentlemen, this marrying in the family or tribe was what engendered the selfishness, the clannishness, and the struggle and strife in the world, and that is the truth. At the ultimate base level of all conflicts that even can occur today, anywhere in the world, is this conflict between the races and between religions and between those who are not religious and those who are. And all of it flies in the face of any concept of a philosophy of liberty or of living in liberty. So those who tell me that they believe in liberty and they believe in the concepts of the founding fathers of this nation and then tell me that only Christians can be Americans are liars. They have no concept whatsoever of what liberty is all about. And I'm a Christian. So don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. I know exactly what I'm talking about. To break up this strife and this trouble and these struggles, the practice has to be discontinued. Thus, when Christ came, he advocated the discontinuance of the practice when he said, quote, "Before Abraham was, I am," end quote. In effect, Christ said, "I do not care for the race, Father, but I glory in the I am, the ego that was long before he was." And he also said, "Who does not leave father and mother cannot follow me." He was not talking about physically leaving your physical father and your physical mother. He was talking about leaving the society. Leaving what in those days was the race, because the race was the society. Many people have brought that through the ages up until today. And you'd better listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, because if you don't, you had better understand the alternatives. The alternatives are an ultimate clash between the races that will be the most terrible thing that you can ever even conceive of. Who does not leave father and mother cannot follow me. As long as you are tied to the family, the nation, the tribe, you are siding with the old blood, the old ways, and cannot amalgamate into the molten sea, into a universal brotherhood, into a peaceful world. As long as there are Jews and Arabs, and Jews practice Judaism, and Arabs practice the religion of Islamic fundamentalism, there will be war in the Middle East, I guarantee it. As long as there are Christians that believe that anyone who is not a Christian is a pagan fool, there will be wars between Christians and those people. I guarantee it. And people who practice these things do not understand the concept of liberty. And I'm telling you exactly what the elite of the world are about today and what is happening in this world and why these things are happening. If you are listening to me carefully, you can understand current events crystal clear better than anyone that you know. You see, this ultimate peaceful world can only come when people marry internationally and produce interracial children. Because when there are so many nations, the way to unite them is through marriage. Let Abraham, the race and tribe father, die. Let the I am live. Christ knew the occult fact that the mixture of blood in international marriage always kills something. It doesn't kill the race. The race lives on in the genetic code of the children, even though the genes are mixed with genes of other races. They are there. The children are generally tougher, healthier, and smarter than other children. If it does not kill the body, what does it kill? If we made a horse and a donkey, the outcome is a hybrid, the mule. In that mule, something is missing on account of the mixture of strange blood, namely the faculty of propagation, which is lacking in all hybrids. Similarly, when we marry internationally, something else is destroyed, but nothing physically. And that is the picture in the inner vision. The different pictures of different families clash. And so the clairvoyance, the touch with the spiritual world and the memory of nature, has waned since the practice of marrying in the tribe was broken up. The Highland Scot, who marries in the clan, and the gypsies alone retain this second sight in a measure. Thus we can see that the blood is now differently constituted from what it was in the earlier ages of human evolution. The body of Jesus was a pioneer vehicle of superlative purity at the time when the Christ Spirit entered it as a means of ingress to the center of the earth by the identical path which had previously been taken by Hiram Abiff when he jumped into the molten sea and was conducted along the path of initiation to the center of the earth where Cain, his ancestor, dwelt. Remember, folks, I'm reading this. This journey of Christ is recorded in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. After Christ had been freed from the flesh by the violent death on Golgotha, when anyone is killed, the venous blood with its impurities clings closely to the flesh, and therefore the arterial blood which flows is distinctly cleaner than it would otherwise be. It is more free from passion and desire. And being etherealized by the great Christ Spirit, the cleansed blood of Jesus overflowed the world, purified the etheric region of selfishness to a great extent, and gave man a much better chance to draw to himself materials which will allow him to form an altruistic purpose and desire. Thus the age of altruism was there inaugurated. By faith in this blood, and by imitation of the Christ life, the sons of Seth are therefore provided with a means of purging from themselves the curse of selfishness. While the sons of Cain were given the emblem of the rose and of the cross to teach them to work faithfully to make the molten sea, the philosopher's stone, and to find the new word which shall admit them to the kingdom, for they believe more in works than in faith. They belong to the material world. Those who believe in faith belong to the spiritual world. The accompanying chart that I'm holding in my hand shows three ages that are mentioned. The first age, when each human being was a complete creative unit, male, female, double-sexed, as they believe, and ruled by one hierarch, Melchizedek, who filled a dual office as king and priest, and that is what is coming in the New World Order. The second age, when the division of the race into male and female, separate from each other. Humanity divided into two sections, called sexes, and into two orders, the temporal powers, the king initiates, Freemasons, initiation by fire and light, the male ideal of Hiram Abiff, and on the other end of the spectrum of duality, priests, Brahmins, Levites, initiation by water, baptism of the female ideal, the Virgin Mary, and the division into races, nations, and sects. Hence there's war, oppression, and slavery. Unity and diversity, love and hate. And then number three, the New Galilee, the New Age, the New World, which is coming. Abolition of sex. Are you listening to me? Abolition of sex. Abolition of the family. Finding the Word. The Word becomes flesh. Christ, King and Priest. Just and Holy. Baptism of Spirit. Divine Ruler over a purged humanity. Do you know what the word purged means? It means that anyone who will not go along with this are to be eliminated. Christ, as you believe Him to be coming back as a Christian, is not what they're talking about here. They're talking about the office of the Christ. The Christed race. The New Age movement. Divine ruler over a purged humanity called Abraham's seed, dwelling in the new Jerusalem, which means there shall be peace. You'd better wake up to this, because what they got planned is not good. I oppose it. I oppose them because they are liars. I oppose their machinations because they are not building, they are manipulating. I oppose their New World Order because it will be a world of enslavement, of elimination, of entire peoples and races. Because they can't wait for all these things to happen naturally. They claim that the division of the rulership into state and church caused war and strife. The state espouses the cause of fatherhood and man and upholds the male ideal of arts, crafts, and industry embodied in Hiram Abiff, the sons of Cain. The church espouses the cause of motherhood and woman and holds aloft the female ideal of love and hearth and home embodied in the Madonna and her child. It is the conflicting interests of the man and the woman, the home and the shop, the church and the state, which cause the economic struggle, the war and the strife, with which mankind is cursed and which make all long and pray for the reign of peace. The third age, the coming world, the world that they are attempting to build now. When a divine Christ, who like Melchizedek, shall fill the dual office of king and priest, and shall rule over a purged and glorified humanity, which has risen from sex love to soul love. And I am telling you now, it will not be Jesus Christ. It will be an imposter. It will be a lie. It will, in fact, be the Antichrist. And I don't care if you're a Jew. I don't care if you're an agnostic. I don't care if you're an atheist, a Christian, an Islamic, a Buddhist, a Taoist, or a nature worshiper, or an American Indian looking toward Wakantanka. What these people believe will affect us all. And they believe it. And they are in the process of bringing it about right this moment as I speak. I know them. I understand them. I speak their language. I can read their symbols. And they're just as full of crap as the preacher who stands behind his pulpit and tells you that Jesus commanded you to give him 10% of your income. It's all about manipulation and power, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about race and religion. And most of it is 100% total unadulterated bullshit. There is no church upon the face of this earth today of any denomination or any religion from any part of the world that teaches what its founder actually taught or foresaw would be taught to the followers of that religion, including Judaism, including Christianity, including fundamentalist Islamism or Mohammedism. Buddha, if he could come back to this earth today, would be extremely saddened because of what they have done to his teachings. Christ would not recognize any Christian church that exists upon this earth today. Muhammad would not be happy with what he would find in Jordan or in Egypt or in Iraq or in Iran. We are in a sad state of affairs, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody has been lied to all their life. Most people who live upon the face of this earth in every country, in every church, in every race, are living a fantasy created by leaders to serve agendas which do not serve the people who are following those agendas, albeit blindly following them. These agendas create wealth and political power and wars and nations and perpetuate strife for profit and religion for power. I wonder what Dr. Schuller is going to have to say about possibility thinking when a great earthquake strikes under his crystal cathedral and everyone is killed by the falling glass. Because his ego had to have a glass castle in which to talk about possibilities. Earthquake proof? Oh, yeah, Dr. Schuller, and the Titanic was unsinkable. Ladies and gentlemen, humanity must mature. That's what this broadcast is all about. I'm not about revolution. I'm about principles and ideals and liberty. And I have told you many times this is a ministry of liberty, if it is a ministry at all. Those of you who talk about preemptive strikes and forming militias to fight the great battle of freedom, it's not going to happen that way. And after all the battles are over, what you're going to get is not anything like what you thought you were fighting for. And you have to remember that throughout its history, socialists have created revolutions amongst the people who believed that they were gaining their liberty in order for the socialists to come to power and install a dictatorship. That's why from the beginning of this broadcast and from the beginning of my urging of the people to form militias, it is to protect law and order in your communities, to preserve the political and military control of your communities, of your states, of your counties, so that when all of these manipulations take their natural course, you will not be swept up in the tide of war and destroyed. And there will be war. That's what Waco was all about. That's what Ruby Ridge was all about. And that's what Oklahoma City was all about. And it was not done by Arab terrorists, although they may have hired some Arabs to be involved to point the arrow in that direction if they could not destroy the militias with their American Reichstag. You can always turn it into a war in the Middle East, which will lead to the same thing. Ultimately, an atomic weapon will be exploded in an American city. Not because I want anybody to. If I knew anybody that was going to do it, I would give my life to stop them, but because I know our enemies, and if they cannot bring about their world totalitarian socialism and their one race and their one religion any other way, they will do it. I know them like the back of my hand. I have studied them for the good portion of my life. And ironically, they think they're doing it for the good of humanity. But they have fooled themselves, just like they have created a bogus religion. They're all liars. We'll continue this tomorrow night. Wednesday night, Michelle Moore will be our guest. Good night, folks, and God bless you all. Thank you.